Stoner from Lake Orion. I am Holt Dorsbacher. I am here with my sister Faith Smith, who will be leading us in worship. Our sound technician is Jeremy Brown. Our recordings are by Denver DeTerry, and our vocalist is Jennifer Hudson. As we are invited today to consider what it means to be messengers rather than owners of all that we have, it is crucial to recognize that we are bought with a price. Jesus Christ himself, human, gave himself a ransom for all. Apart from the generosity of God, we have nothing. We are nothing. By God's gracious favor, we have everything we need. Our gathering him is take my life that I may be.
Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise.
What a beautiful song to get our service started. Please join me with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, our maker and helper and our keeper. Amen. Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful and loving God, we are your stiff-necked people. We trample on the needy. We grumbled about your grace to others. We turn away from the poor and have mercy on us and forgive us sins. Rejoice over us as one who were lost and have been found. Amen. Even when we are faithless, God remains faithful. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You who were lost have been found. In the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our prayer of the day. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths, turn our minds to your wisdom, and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our first reading.
Amos was called by God to prophesy in the northern kingdom of Israel. Peace and prosperity in Israel led to corrupt business practices and oppression of the poor. The prophet declares that God will not tolerate such a situation. Our first reading is from Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring ruin to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the epheth smaller and shekel heavier, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm is Psalm 113. Our antiphon is "The Lord lifts up the poor from the ashes." Alleluia, give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised. The Lord lifts up the poor from the ashes. Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high? The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust and lifts up the poor from the ashes. The Lord makes the woman of a childless house to be a joyful mother of children. Alleluia. The Lord lifts up the poor from the ashes. Our hymn of praise is "There's a Wholeness of in God's Mercy."
I need no other argument, I need no other.
our second reading. The pastoral epistle offer insight into how early Christians understood many practical matters, such as church administration and worship, the church's focus, prayer for others as an expression of the single-minded passion God has toward us in Jesus. Our second reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 7. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in the godliness and dignity. This is right and acceptable before God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is only one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ himself, human, who gave himself a ransom for all, and this was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. This is the word of our Lord.
Please join me for the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Live your life in a manner worthy and gospel of Christ. Strive side by side for the faith of the gospel. Alleluia. The gospel today is from Luke chapter 16, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, Lord. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager, because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealings with their own generation than they are of the children of the light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little, little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful for what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one another or love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." This is the gospel of the Lord. Good morning. I'm going to do my sermon on an iPad today. My printer died last night, and that was fun. So we'll see how this goes. So I want to start with a story, not about someone famous, not about anyone you'd know, just a story, and it's about a paycheck. It goes like this. Someone opens their pay stub and notices something strange. There are hours marked down as paid time off, except here's the problem, they don't have any PTO or paid time off left. Those hours weren't theirs. And you know how the mind starts wandering and how it starts working against us. Well, maybe it's a gift. Maybe no one will notice. I could really use the extra money. The temptation is so quiet, so small, just let it slide. Just keep the gift. But this person chose to call their human resources, or HR. Hey, I think there's a mistake here. I don't have PTO. The correction was made, the hours removed, and the paycheck adjusted. Now, you and I both know that decision didn't change the world. There weren't any parades. No one wrote a news article about it. There was no TikTok going viral, but it was a choice to be honest, a choice to be faithful in a little thing. And here's the truth. Dishonesty rarely starts with the headlines. It doesn't begin with scandals that rock the whole companies or topple leaders. Dishonesty starts small. A scale tipped just a little, a shortcut taken just slightly, an excuse made to justify cutting a corner. And that's exactly where our readings take us today. Amos takes us to the marketplace with crooked scales and a booming economy built on injustice. The psalmist takes us to the ashes where God lifts the poor and forgotten. Paul calls us to prayer that reshapes our communities. And Jesus tells a story about a dishonest manager and lands with that piercing line, whoever is faithful in the very little is faithful also in much. This isn't just about bookkeeping. This is about allegiance, about loyalty, about who we are when nobody's watching. So let's dive into Amos. Amos prophesied in the northern kingdom of Israel during a time when life looked good. The economy was strong. The markets were busy. The people were secure. Worship festivals were full of song and sacrifice. But beneath the surface, Amos saw a rot. He heard the merchants muttering during worship, "When will the new moon be over so we can sell grain? When will the Sabbath end so we can get back to business?" And when the business resumed, they cheated. Amos says they made the measure smaller, the price higher, and resold even the sweepings of the wheat. The scales were rigged. The poor were trampled. The needy were treated like objects to be bought for a pair of sandals. And into that, God speaks a thunderclap. "Surely I will never forget any of their deeds." But that's not just God scolding. That's God saying injustice leaves a scar. It is remembered. It is not erased or ignored. God does not turn a blind eye to exploitation of the vulnerable. And let's be honest, we'd like to think, well, that was back then, but come on. Let me say that we don't see those scales tip today. They're not rigged today, right? Loans that promise freedom but chain families in debt for decades. hidden fees that punish people who can least afford them, grocery prices climbing, and record profits are announced in the same breath. Medical bills that weigh heavier than the illness itself, and housing costs that shut the door on safe homes for working families. We know these scales. Some of us have felt them tipping right under our own feet. But let's not stop at money. Rigged scales show up in other corners too. A reputation tipped by gossip or favoritism. A workplace where advancement depends on who you know, not what you give. A classroom where some voices are valued and others are silenced. A family where love is withheld and grudges weigh more than grace. And here's where Amos presses us. When people are left poor, not just financially, but poor in spirit, poor in relationship, poor in dignity, God notices. God says, "I will never forget." Now, if Amos sounds like thunder, Psalm 113 is a song of hope underneath it. The psalmist sings, "The Lord is high above all nations, yet stoops behold the earth. He lifts the poor from the ashes and seats them with princes." That's who God is. God is not some distant observer. God bends low. He stoops down. God sees the ones who have been ground into dust, the ones sitting in ashes. Ashes in scripture are always the sign of loss, grief, or repentance. Sitting in ashes means you've come to the end of yourself. It means despair has had the last word. And yet, the psalmist says God lifts the poor from the ashes. Not just the poor in finances, but again, poor in spirit, poor in hope, the poor in love, the poor in relationship. Let's just think about it for a second. The parent who feels invisible and forgotten. The neighbor who carries grief alone. The person sitting in church surrounded by people, but feeling completely unseen. The one whose heart feels like ashes because of relationship burned down to nothing. God stoops down to them and lifts them. God restores dignity where the world has stripped it away. God seats the forgotten in places of honor. So Amos shouts, "God will not forget injustice." In Psalm 113, sings, "And God will not forget you." So then let's look into Luke's gospel. The parable of the dishonest manager. I'm going to give you a secret. This is one of those passages preachers, pastors secretly hope won't land on their Sunday. Because let's be honest, on the surface, it looks like Jesus is commending dishonesty. Here's how it goes. There was a wealthy man whose manager had been wasting his possessions. And the master calls him, "What is this that I hear? You can't be my manager." The manager panics. "What am I going to do?" So he hatches a plan. He calls in all of his master's debtors and just goes down the list. And when the master finds out, he actually commends the manager. Not for cheating, but for acting shrewdly, for acting with urgency. See, Jesus isn't saying, "Go and do likewise, be honest, be dishonest." He's saying, "Look at the urgency. Look at the way the people of this world hustle when something they value is on the line." And then he turns to us, the children of the light, and asks, "Where's your urgency for the things of God?" And then comes the punchline. "Whoever is faithful in the very little is faithful always, also in much. Whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If you haven't been faithful for what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? You can't serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. That's not just about money. That's about loyalty. It's about allegiance. What voice really directs your choices? Think about it. If we're careless with the little things we say, what does that reveal about our hearts? If we are unfaithful with small responsibilities, what does that say about how we handle bigger ones? If we compromise in the hidden places, what happens when bigger temptation comes? And again, let's not narrow this just to money. Faithful in little stretches across every arena in our lives. Faithful in spirit, tending in prayer, staying honest with God when no one hears. Faithful in relationships, showing kindness when it's easier to snap, forgiving when it costs you something. Faithful in responsibility, doing your work with integrity even when the boss isn't looking. Faithful in community, speaking truth instead of gossip, encouragement instead of tearing down. Because if we can't be faithful in the small things, a conversation, a promise kept, money, a moment of honesty, then what makes us think we'll suddenly rise to the occasion of big things? Jesus is blunt here. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and wealth. You can't split allegiance between justice and exploitation, between mercy and selfishness. Sooner or later, one wins out. And that's where Amos and Luke line up. The merchants in Amos' day were technically religious. They showed up to the festivals, they sang the songs, but their hearts were already at the market, plotting how to tip the scales. Their allegiance was divided, and God said, "I will not forget." Which is why Paul's letter to Timothy matters here, because how do we keep our allegiance straight in a world full of rigged scales? Paul says we start with prayer. Paul says, first of all, I urge supplication, prayers, and intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, even to kings in high positions. Prayer, Paul says, is the first thing. Not the last resort, the first response. But let's be clear, prayer is not passive. Prayer is not checking a box. Prayer is not polite thoughts and prayers, sentiment. Prayer is protest. Prayer is alignment with God's justice. When we pray for leaders, we're not endorsing everything they do. We're pleading with God to bend their scales towards justice, to soften their hearts towards compassion, to restrain their hands from harm. And when we pray for our neighbors, our coworkers, our families, we're saying we refuse to accept the world's rigged scales as the final word. We're asking God to realign the balances toward mercy, toward dignity, toward truth. And the process prayer reshapes us. When we pray for someone that frustrates us, God chisels our bitterness into patience. When we pray for those in power, God reminds us that ultimate authority belongs to Him. When we pray for the poor, poor in money, poor in spirit, poor in hope, God bends our hearts towards compassion instead of indifference. Prayer, then, is how we stay faithful in the little things. It's how we train our souls to notice injustice and not look away. It's how we become the kind of people who can be entrusted with true riches, the riches of love, mercy, justice, and grace. So let's tie this all together. We've heard Amos thunder, God will not forget the deeds of injustice. We sang Psalm 113, God lifts the poor from the ashes and seats them with princes. We've wrestled with Jesus' parable, whoever is faithful in little is faithful in much. You cannot serve God in wealth. We listened to Paul urge us, pray for everyone that we may live lives of dignity. And all of this points to this, faithfulness and the little things matter. Because of the little things are not, because the little things are not so little. They really reveal the allegiance of our hearts. The little act of honesty with paycheck, the little decision to stop gossiping in its tracks, the little kindness that lifts someone poor in spirit, the little prayer that shifts your posture towards compassion. So here's the challenge for you guys. Where are the scales tipped in your life? Even slightly. Where are you tempted to cut corners? Where are you tempted to look away? Where are you tempted to let divided loyalty slide? But here's the promise. God lifts the poor from the ashes. Whether you are poor in finances, poor in spirit, poor in relationship, or poor in hope, God sees you. He stoops down to you. God restores dignity where the world has stripped it away. God entrusts true riches when we are faithful in the little things. So let's not serve the rigged scales of the world. Let's not bow to the false gods of wealth, convenience, and exploitation. Let's serve the God who remembers injustice, who lifts from the ashes, who calls us to prayer, and who entrusts us with true riches. Amen. Our hymn of the day is Be Thou My Vision.
Be all else to me, save that thou art.
gracious God, we come to you in prayer for the church, the world, and all in need.
O God, teach your church to act in solidarity with the poor, frustrating the efforts of those who trample on the needy and practicing justice in our own life and community, God of grace. Almighty Creator, we pray for an end to the misuse of the earth and its resources, that all people may benefit from your abundant gifts, that our stewards of creation would be marked by justice and sustainability, God of grace. Holy One, embolden elected leaders to pursue policies of economic justice, peace, and love for the benefit of all. Persuade them by your example of generosity and compassion, God of grace. Compassionate God, we pray for all facing illness, those near death, or those grieving the loss of loved ones, especially Maxine Bachman, Janet Baldwin, Dennis Belger, Heather and Julia Grayson, Peggy Bergerl, Janet Bulgren, Marcia Bundy, Tori Clark, Peggy Cole, Deb Colley, Debbie Cook, Bill Davidson, Brad and Jack DeTerry, Pastor Don and Cheryl Dorsbacher, Kim Edwards, Kirk Coughlin, Harry Kettles, Grayson Margetto, Sherry Moserak, Vaughn Noble, Mary Patterson, Richard Payton, Lois Pike, Lynn Pacelli, Leon Quater, Natalie Raymond, Sandy Smith, the family and friends of Gertrude Perry with her passing, the AA and NA projects, the Harbor for Youth, and Renewal Christian Counseling, those serving to protect our nation both at home and overseas that they may return safely. May they find comfort and strength in your love. Prepare us to surround them with your healing care, God of grace. God of love, motivate our congregation to enact economic justice through tangible action, prioritizing the needs of our community and sharing resources generously through our outreach and justice ministries, God of grace. Gracious God, we give thanks for the saints who now join the heavenly chorus in praising your name. Lift us up from the dust of grief and remind us of your promise of a new life, God of grace. We entrust these prayers to you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and friend.
The peace of Christ is with you always. Let's take a moment and share that peace.
Thank you for your tithes and offerings given person in the Northex by mail or online. I have a couple of announcements. A seven-week session of a one-hour Bible study following Sunday service begins today with Reverend Joseph Bonick. Please consider contributing to the crop walk in the container in the Northex. If you would like to walk, contact Helen DeTerry. A dedication ceremony for the memory bench will take place next Sunday, September 28th, following the worship service. All who can join us, Pastor Bonick will do the dedication for the bench that Dennis Belger made in honor of his parents. Lord of the harvest, we return to you a portion of what you have given to us. Turn us to set our hope not on the uncertainty of riches, but on you, who richly provides for us. Multiply what we have gathered to bless all who are suffering and in need, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And our offering hymn is "All to Jesus I Surrender."
Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, With the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, 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 the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beyond the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by the night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, and into the future. Bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given to you. Do this in a remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, at the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ died. Christ risen. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering within this meal among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Jesus Christ Jesus, by your Spirit in your church without end. Amen. Please join me with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. Come to this meal of mercy.
Yeah.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. O God, through this meal you have strengthened us and appointed us to be your servants. Send us to do good and to share our possessions with all in need. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The God of righteousness, who gives justice to the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, who sets the prisoners free, bless you now and forever. Amen. Our sending hymn is Rise Up, O Saints of God.
We will sing verses 1 through 4.
Go in peace. Do not lose heart.
Thanks be to God.